A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to the sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you.
Chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
I'm going to start by praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Trinity. Thank you that you are a Trinity. And I pray that you'd be with us now as we try and understand a bit more about what that means for us today. Amen. Well, today is Trinity Sunday. The Trinity. God is Trinity. And this doctrine of God, which is so important because it is God, can feel complicated and hard for us to comprehend. But the Trinity is God. God is Trinity. And in our lives as Christians, we should work hard to understand everything that we can about God, to know him fully and deeply in our walks with him. Isn't it a beautiful thing when we know that we really understand our friends? When we know that on May the 17th, when it was okay to give people hugs, we all should have gone round to Laura Burt's house and been ready there to give her a hug, because we know her and we know how much she loves hugs. Well, God is a Trinity. And us understanding the Trinity is a way of us having insight into him and who he is. Isn't it wonderful as Christians that we don't have a mysterious or far away God? We have a God who wants to be known and shows us how to know him. And anything that God tells us about himself will have practical applications for us and how we relate to him. Because we live in God's creation. We are made in God's image. So the more that we understand about God, the more that we understand about ourselves. A small insight into God can be a big insight for us. And the Trinity isn't small. This is God and who he is relationally. And we should not ignore the Trinity. We should seek to understand it. And when I was preparing this morning, I had all kinds of ideas about how I'd explain the Trinity. And then I read, the first rule about Trinitarian analogies is please don't. And the second rule is refer to the first rule. So instead, let's think about the Trinity in terms of who someone is and what form they take. So we can start with Will's favorite TV program, which is what, Will? New TV program that you're watching? Grey's Anatomy. So Meredith Grey. Who is she? She's Meredith Grey. And what form does Meredith Grey take? She takes the form of a woman. And how about Chewbacca from Star Wars? Who is Chewbacca? He's Chewbacca. And what form does he take? He takes the form of a Wookiee. Well, this was slightly outside of my comfort zone, but Optimus Prime is from the Transformers. Who is Optimus Prime? He's Optimus Prime. What form does he take? Well, he's a transformer, so he is both a truck and a robot. Optimus Prime takes two forms. And God is God, but God is formed of three separate persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons existing as one God. And in our passage from John, we have all three forms, persons of God mentioned. In verse 2, Nicodemus knows that Jesus has been sent by God. In verse 3, he knows that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he has been born again. In verse 5, this rebirth is done by the Spirit. God's Spirit changes you in order to make you a child of God. Then in verse 15, Jesus says that the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who has faith in him can have eternal life. And then that wonderful verse of John 3:16, which many of us were probably taught as children. For God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Although not mentioned, we know that that eternal life is secured through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us when we become believers. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all instrumental to our journey of faith and our salvation. And there isn't a tear in the Trinity, as all three parts of God work together in our lives to bring us the certainty of eternity in heaven. Well, when I was thinking and preparing for this morning, I was thinking that what I wanted to share with you this morning was what could warm our hearts to the Trinity. What is it about the Trinity that makes it so wonderful for us as believers? Why is God as Trinity such good news for us? Well, the first reason is because the Trinity is eternal. God has always existed in three persons. We see this in Genesis. The earth was formless and empty, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. The Spirit didn't just come at Pentecost. He has always been with God as he is part of God. Jesus too, think of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God at the beginning. And through the Old Testament, we see the Spirit at work. The Spirit played a prominent role in the long span of Old Testament prophecy. David declared that the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. Ezekiel reported that the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. The Spirit inspired holiness in Old Testament believers. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we read that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Trinity didn't start existing when humans came along. It has always existed because God's character is unchanging. It is immutable. And that's a great reassurance for us as we continue pressing on in faith. We believe in an eternal God whose nature does not change, whose plan since before the world began was to send his Son into the world to die for us, and that after he returned to heaven, the Spirit would be with us, giving us life. Packer, who was a theologian and writer, Christian writer, wrote that what God does in time, he planned from eternity. And all that he planned in eternity, he carries out in time. And we see the idea of this always being God's plan in this passage from John, where Jesus meets Nicodemus, because he references the Son of Man being lifted up. And that reference points us back to Numbers, where the Israelites were all very ill and they were sick. And Moses was told to put a bronze snake up, and everybody who looked up at that bronze snake wouldn't die. Jesus dying on the cross, being sent to earth for us, the Spirit living inside of us as believers, was always God's plan from eternity. And the faith that we see Nicodemus understanding here is the same faith that we are a part of today. Isn't that amazing? It's not, if you're a teacher, you'll have written risk assessments. And when you write a risk assessment, there's always a bit that says dynamic risk assessment. And if you're anything like me, you wouldn't have imagined that Robin Pound would fall into a pond in London and you'd have to go to Topshop and buy him new clothes. But when that happens, when you take the children to London to see a play, you have to write it in the dynamic risk assessment. But this plan of God's wasn't like that at all, that humans came along and suddenly the plan had to change. This plan of this Trinity God with these three parts, with Jesus coming to earth for us, was always God's plan, because God is eternal and he had planned that from eternity. And secondly, the Trinity is relational. God exists in a relationship. He exists in community, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three parts of God exist in a relationship of love with one another. Which means that when we experience God, we experience love. We do not have a distant God. We have a relational God. We do not have a God to fear. We have a God who loves us, who is known for existing in love. This is how we experience each part of the Trinity. A God who loved us so much that he sent his Son. A Son who loved us so much that he died for us on the cross and was lifted up to save us. And the Spirit who loves us so much that he helps us as we journey and gives us new life. And these three parts are working together with one goal in mind, our salvation and us being in heaven. In verse 17, Jesus said that that God does not want to condemn the world, but to save the world. All three parts of the Trinity acting in and around us. Jesus as our advocate and intercessor. The Spirit convicting us, empowering us, encouraging us. And God loving us and knowing us. And that means that because of the Trinity, we are not alone. We are surrounded by love. We are encompassed by love. And as we relationally experience the love of God, we get to experience some of how Jesus relates to God through the Spirit. John V. Taylor, who was the Bishop of Winchester, wrote a book called The Go-Between God. And he talks about the Holy Spirit, which was living inside of Jesus and allowing him to know, you know, God the Father as he was living on earth. And we get drawn into that as well. We get to experience something of the relationship between Jesus and God, which existed when Jesus was on earth, because we have the Spirit living inside of us. This community of God's personhood is existing and relating between these three parts, and he draws us in. So, as I said, what I wanted us to do this morning is to leave the building feeling so grateful that in the Christian faith, God is Trinity. That unlike other faiths, we don't have a distant God, we have a relational God. That unlike other faiths, we don't have a God who exists in only one part. We have a God who exists in three distinct parts. And as you leave those doors this morning, I want you to imagine those three parts of God as Trinity encircling you, loving you, while loving one another. And may that continue as you walk in your faith. And as we move on to eternity with God, I'll pray as I end. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are Trinity. Thank you for the distinct parts of who you are. And that it's so amazing that as these three parts work together, loving one another, that they are also loving us and drawing us towards heaven and eternity with you. Amen.